Now let's dive into the Word of God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 35 to 59, or we're going to finish up this chapter. Continuing to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the Gospel of Luke on Sunday mornings and the book of Exodus on Wednesdays. And Father, we look to you to speak into our hearts and to our lives and give us that timely word you brought us here to hear. And so, Lord, give us ears to hear today in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 12, verses 35 to 59. The title of this message is, Are You Ready? Are you ready? Now, I know your first response is, ready for what? For Jesus to return. Now, in these verses we're studying, we're going to see the story of the faithful and unfaithful servants. One was ready for his master to return and one was not. And all of us fall into one of these categories as we're going to see. Either we are ready for Jesus to return or we are not. We're going to see how we can get prepared for the return of Christ because belief affects behavior. What we believe affects the way that we live. And so what we believe about Jesus Christ will affect the way we live, as we're going to see. Now, look at verses 35 to 40. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, this parable or story is teaching us that we need to be ready and watching for the Lord's return. We should be living in such a way that we believe that Jesus Christ can come back at any time. In verse 35, where it says that we need to let our waist be girded and our lamps burning, this is talking about being ready because Jewish weddings occurred at night. And the servants had to be ready to serve whenever the bridegroom will come and get his bride. So the men would take their long robes and tuck them under their belts. The purpose of this so they could be free to move quickly. Jesus is saying that we need to live in such a way that our robes are always tucked and our lamps burning, watching for our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, to come. Now, the Greek word for watch in verses 37 and 39 is gregorio, and it means to be alert, to be ready, not to be caught by surprise. In other words, we should live in such a way as to not be caught by surprise when Jesus comes, because he will come like a thief in the night, according to 2 Peter 3, verse 10. Now, the question that I have to ask us is this, is are we ready and are we looking for the return of Jesus Christ? If we're not looking for the return of Jesus Christ, the question is why? Why not? Are you too busy trying to find someone to marry or to hook up with? Or are you trying to find the latest job that's going to pay you the most? If we're not looking for the return of Jesus Christ, then we will be caught by surprise when he returns, because verse 40 said that he is coming at an hour when we don't think that he is coming. In Mark chapter 4, verse 19, it's not on the screen for you note takers, it says that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things can come in our lives and choke the word of God, where we become unfruitful. And so the word is letting us know that, see, here's the thing. There's nothing wrong. If you're single, there's nothing wrong with looking for a mate. If you are at a job or you looking for another job, there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes these things can distract us from watching for the Lord to return. And so nothing's wrong with those things, but are they distracting you and keeping you from looking for Jesus Christ to return? So this is the things that we have to ask ourselves. Look what it says there in verses 41 to 48. It said, then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord says, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Now, the purpose of this story is to let us know that we are supposed to not only watch and wait for his return, we are to work as well. In other words, watching for the Lord to return is not passive, but it's active. We have a responsibility to be faithful in what God has called us to do for his kingdom. Something I want to remind us of that I've told us many times in the past is that God has never called us to be successful, but to be faithful. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says it is required of stewards that one be found faithful. Now, if being faithful, you end up successful, that's a different thing. But there are too many people chasing success instead of chasing faithfulness. The question is, what is success anyway? Do you know that you can be a success in the eyes of people, but be a failure in the eyes of God? Just ask Moses. In Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 through 12, the Israelites were complaining once again about being thirsty. The first time they complained, God told Moses to strike the rock and water would come out. So here they are again, whining and complaining. And so God said, okay, Moses, this time just speak to the rock and water will come out. Moses got angry with the people. And in Numbers chapter 20, verse 10, he says, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then verse 12 said that he took his rod and hit the rock twice. Bop, bop. Water came out. Congregation drank. The animals drank. Everybody had a good old time. Success in the eyes of people. And then the Lord told Moses and Aaron, come here for a minute. And he pulled them aside and rebuked them and told them that they were not going to bring the people into the promised land. Why? God said, because you being representatives of me showed the people anger when I was not angry with them. In other words, you misrepresented me. So we can be a success in the eyes of people. Water comes out of the rock, but a failure in the eyes of God, because in being a success in the eyes of people, Moses misrepresented God. And so God requires of us to be faithful until he returns. Once we get it in our mind that Jesus is not coming right now, you know, they've been saying that for a long time. My grandmama, great grandmama, they've been saying that for a long time. Then what will happen when we say that? Our lives will reflect it. I say this because if we really, 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 really believe that Jesus can return at any time, would we do half the things that we're doing right now? No way. Why? Because we will not want to get caught looking at those sites on the computer, going to those places, doing those things with those people when Jesus returns. We wouldn't want to get caught doing those things. Let me just take it a little bit deeper. If we said, okay, the Lord is coming back today at noon, oh, we'll be scrambling. Where's that? You know what? I just want to stay here until noon. I got a lot to get right with God. Oh, my goodness. Because if I go out there, I'm going to get in trouble. He's waiting for me at the house and all this sort of stuff. You wouldn't want to do those. Why? Because you know Jesus Christ can return. See, that is the point. Belief affects behavior. What we believe will affect the way that we live. That is the point that Jesus is making. We need to live in such a way that Jesus can return at any time. When we lose that perspective, it leads to a life of carnality, sin, and destruction. Do you believe that Jesus can come back today? Your life will reflect it. Look over this past week. Look over your life this past week. Did you live in such a way that you believe that Jesus Christ could return? That is what Jesus is trying to teach us through this story. Now, I know that some of you are saying to yourself, you know, that's just too hard. You know, it's hard. You don't understand. I get lonely. I'm just getting hard. Remember, God's calling is his enabling. What God has called us to do, he will enable and empower us to do. And we do this strictly by his grace. God's grace is not only to save us, but it's also to sanctify us, which means to set us apart for God's use. Titus 2:11-13 teaches us. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and a glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you see how God's grace is a teacher? Verse 12 says God's grace is teaching us to deny ungodliness. I'm really about to help you with some words right now. Ungodliness, or notice it says denying ungodliness or denying those things and people that will cause us to live ungodly. This means what we watch, it's what I'm watching, would that cause me to live ungodly? What I'm listening to, will this music cause me to do things that are ungodly? Will it remind me of my BC life, my before Christ days? Will this, or is this music glorifying to the Lord? The places I'm going, will this place that I'm going, will it help me to live godly for Jesus Christ? Look at your life right now. Are you living righteously? Meaning that do you have a right relationship with people? Or is it that everywhere you go, you can't get along with folks? Can't keep a roommate? You can't, you've been to 2, 3, 4 marriages because folks say, I just cannot deal with you anymore. So it says, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Godly is having a right relationship with God. Look at your life right now. Do you have a right relationship with God? Not a religious relationship with God, meaning that you do your religious things. No, no, no. Do you have a right relationship? Would you say, me and God, we like this. You know, I'm close. I'm close to him. So that's what it means. And so he says that God's grace is teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Why? Because verse 13 says we're looking for Jesus to return. Do you see how belief affects behavior? What we believe affects the way we live. See, we can easily say, yeah, I believe Jesus Christ can come back at any time. And then we believe that on here on Sunday. And then Monday through Saturday, we just do us. You don't really believe it. Because if you believe Jesus can come back at any time, your life will reflect it. It will show it. Now, as we wait, as we watch, and work for the Lord, keep in mind that there will be people who will not like us or the way we are living. Look at verses 49-53. It says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, 5 in one house will be divided, 3 against 2, 2 against 3. Father will be divided against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and all that sort of stuff. And many of you are saying, amen, I'm living that right now. Now, Jesus use fire, baptism, and division to speak of opposition and conflict. Fire is a symbol of judgment in the Bible. Baptism is a symbol of suffering and death. Division speaks of disharmony and separation. Yes, Jesus came to this earth and he promised peace and goodwill towards men, but there will always be those who oppose Jesus Christ, and they may be family members, co-workers, or friends. In other words, it will come from those closest to us, a spouse, children, business partners. So don't be surprised when you encounter this. Don't be shocked when boyfriends leave and old friends want nothing to do with you. Or you lose your job because you have decided to get real in following Jesus Christ. They will begin to say things to you like, you're no fun anymore. Or you're different now. Or I didn't know I married a preacher. And all these kind of things they will begin to say when you start to live for the Lord. So don't be shocked when it happens. Look at verses 54 to 56. Then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, and there will be hot weather. And there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? Now, in these verses, Jesus is showing us the dangers of not being discerning. Man can split an atom, go to the moon, that is approximately 238,900 miles away. They can measure the sun, that's 864,000 miles in diameter, 10,000 degrees on the surface of the moon, and 27 million degrees in the core of the sun. My son and I always say, how did they measure that? How did they get close enough to measure that? I mean, they can tell us about our galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy that we are in is just one of billions of galaxies. And the Milky Way galaxy is 100,000 miles wide. That's traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. It would take you 100,000 years to get to the width of our Milky Way galaxy, and there are billions of galaxies. And man can tell us all these things, but they can't tell us how to get to heaven. Look what he says there in verses 57 to 59. It says, yes, and why even of yourself do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge and the judge deliver you to the officer and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite. Jesus is showing us that man can do whatever he can, and he will do whatever he can to stay out of jail, but he will not put the same diligence into staying out of hell. So what does this story mean to us? It means if we knew that a storm was coming, like a hurricane or a tornado, we would do all we can to prepare for it. We would go to Walmart and buy up the store, buy food and water and snacks and batteries. We'll go to Lowe's and Home Depot to buy generators and flashlights. Or if we knew that the police was coming to get us or some of our loved ones, we would get a good lawyer to get us out of our situation. Now, so why is it that we aren't preparing ourselves or putting the same diligence and to make sure that we are right for the storm of God's judgment? God's wrath is coming upon a Christ-rejecting world, and we need to prepare ourselves and others for it. That is the point Jesus is making in these verses. As I was going over this yesterday, I was reading through the Bible like I do, and I'm in the Gospel of Luke. I just happened to be in Luke, and then I came to chapter 16 and verse 8, and I said, you know what? I have to put that in my notes. Jesus says something that a lot of commentators, they're baffled over. Jesus said that the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than sons of light. So what is Jesus saying? Here's the thing. Just looking at it from the storm perspective, we know that a storm is coming because, you know, man has gotten smart and he got these Dopplers and all kind of things. He can tell, track the storm by the minute and all that. Well, we are running. Folks are running. Walmart and Home Depot and Lowe's, they love it when storms come. They just love it because they say, ching, ching, another storm has come, because they know everybody about to freak out and get prepared for the storm. And so Jesus is saying the sons of this world, they're more shrewd in their generation than sons of light. Jesus is saying that natural man will prepare for the storm that's coming his way. He'll do all he can to prepare. But why is it that people aren't being prepared or preparing others for the storm of God's judgment that's coming? That's why I said the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than sons of light. We just sit around twiddling our thumbs. Yeah, Jesus is coming back. Yeah, he's coming. And we aren't preparing ourselves nor other people for it. That's why he says the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than sons of light. And Jesus spoke the truth. And so as I conclude, let me just ask us again, are we ready for Jesus Christ to return? And the thing about it is, he is coming whether we're ready or not. He's still going to come. The way we get ready is by repenting of our sins and accepting Jesus Christ into our hearts as our Lord and Savior. Then by his grace, try to live as if he could come back at any time. And when you stumble and fall, and you will, his grace and forgiveness will be there waiting on you so you can get back up and keep walking. I don't know about you, but that's good news to hear. Finally, don't forget that God has not called us to be successful, but to be faithful. And may we be faithful until the Lord returns, or let us be faithful until we die, whichever comes first. The point is, let us be faithful. Look over your life right now. Did you live this week as if Jesus can come back at any time, but were you too busy trying to hook up and get with this person, looking on the internet for the latest job that's going to pay you the most? And these things, they have their place. But does it distract you from looking for Jesus to return? Because see, if you're looking for Jesus to return, you will live that way. You will live in such a way as Jesus can return. That so-and-so who calls you up, let's get together. And you're like, you know what? No, not tonight. Not today. Hey, Jesus can come back. I don't want to be caught with you. You drug me down. Mm-mm. I don't want Jesus to catch me looking at these sites. I don't want Jesus to catch me doing this kind of thing. And so belief affects behavior. What you believe will affect the way you live. Now, there are some of you who are listening. There are some of you, it's in one ear and out the other. You're going to leave here and go, and you're going to do you. And you're going to say, I got some time. Jesus said he's going to come at a time you don't expect for him to come. Oh, I got a little time. You know, I'm young still. What does that got to do with your age? What does that got to do with anything? He's coming back at an hour you don't expect. Oh, see, it affects what you're doing. Oh, I don't want to be living with them when Jesus comes back. Oh, I don't want to be playing house, playing husband and wife with no ring. Oh, God is speaking now. Because, see, if you really believe that Jesus could come back, you wouldn't do that. If you really believe it, now, you can nod your head and say, yeah, I believe it. But belief affects behavior. affects the way that you live, affects the way that I live. So let us be a people that we say, you know what, today, by God's grace, we're going to try to live as if Jesus Christ can come back at any time. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you for the preciousness of your word and how it speaks into our hearts and it speaks into our lives for today. And Lord, I pray for your people here who, Lord, they desire in their hearts right now to live for you. I pray, God, by your grace, you would draw them, Lord. Draw them closer to you. Show them how you have so much more for them, so much better for them than the life they're settling for. And Lord, I pray for those who have not surrendered their life to you, that today, may today be the day of salvation for them. Draw people unto you by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.